There's nothing like being able to come and worship. Thank you to all of you at Mountain View Academy. Thank you for being here and those who have participated, which is really every one of you. It's good to know that the Spirit truly is in this place. Let's pray. Father, we've come. We've followed your invitation to come into your presence. We ask that you will give us minds that can receive, hearts that are open, so that today we will be able to understand you in a new and powerful way. This is our prayer, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was recently scanning the news headlines, and I saw one that caught my attention. Love is a chemical reaction scientists find. Now, when you saw that headline, I imagine you probably had about the same thought run through your mind as I had mine. I started getting this picture of a line of people stretching down the street waiting for their injection of love for the week. But it was really interesting to me as I continued to read the article. They called love pair bonding. They say that's the scientific term that our scientists would use. Us non-scientists call it love. But the article was actually dealing with individuals who have been born apparently lacking the ability to experience love. And scientists are studying the problem out to try to figure out why some individuals seem to lack the ability to respond that most of the rest of individuals have. They're trying to figure out, and they are discovering that there are certain chemicals that are missing in the brains of those who seem to have specific conditions that cause them not to be able to experience this thing called love. And so I thought about this. I realized these scientists are inspired because the experience they would like to have, they would love to be able to bring someone in who has never actually ever been able to experience this pair bonding, as they call it, this experience of love. They would love to be able to do something that suddenly will enable them to experience that which they have never experienced before. And that is love. It reminds me of the videos, I imagine you have seen them as well, where you watch as a little child is sitting in a chair, and this is a little child that has been born unable to hear. And they are sitting here in the room, they're in the chair, they have these devices hooked to their ears, and somebody flips a switch, and you watch the face of the child as suddenly, most likely it is the sound of their mother's voice, and for the first time this little child experiences something that they have never experienced before called sound. In that little mind, they had never imagined that any such thing even existed. And all of a sudden, they have this experience of being able to hear. You watch their eyes get big. This smile comes across their face. They suddenly start getting excited as this whole new experience comes flooding through their mind. And I can only imagine the joy of the individuals who have performed the operation of being able to see this child experience something that they have never, ever experienced before. I would invite you to go with me from the more physical side of our personal experience to something that is called the spiritual side of our experience. And I'd like to start with asking you the question, is it possible that just as there are those who are incapable of loving, hearing, or seeing, that there are those for whom it is impossible for them to experience the presence of God? If we go to John chapter 3 and verse 4. I think about that experience that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. He was a biblical scholar. He was a spiritual leader. He was an expert in religion. But there was something that Nicodemus had never, ever experienced before. And Jesus looked into the eyes of this man who thought that there was nothing more that he could actually experience in the realm of religion. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus sits there in shocked amazement. It is as though you are telling a choir director that he needs to have a surgery so that he can actually learn how to hear. And it's like, what do you mean? I'm hearing all my life. No, there's something more. And I believe that Jesus is saying to us today, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 9. Here in this chapter, we have the story of two blind men. And they have come to see Jesus. Now, we're not told what the prior experience of these two blind men were. We don't know whether they were born blind or whether they lost their sight. But they have come to Jesus. And they are following him. In verse 27 of Matthew 9, it says they cried out saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? It's a fascinating question. Lord, have mercy on us. Do you believe that I am able to do this? I am confident this is not a question designed to prevent them from having the experience. It is a question designed to make them think, to make them realize that there is something necessary in order for them to have the experience that they so much want to have. Do you believe that I am able to do this? The question actually generates an experience of belief. The blind men realize that it is very possible that unless they believe, they will not have what they want. And they want to be able to see so badly that they say, all right, we are going to cling to the hope that we are able to believe. And their response is, yes, Lord. Verse 29 says, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. If Jesus were standing here today, and I was making a request of him, and he said to me, according to your faith, let it be to you, I can guarantee you it causes me to question the degree of faith that I possess. If my experience with God is going to be according to the amount of faith I have, it means I need a greater faith. I don't want a limited experience. What inspires me in this story is that as the men say, yes, Lord, as Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you, the very next words are, and their eyes were opened. And suddenly that which these men could not see was visible to them. In the presence of Jesus. And I believe it is because they were standing in the presence of Jesus receiving faith from him, that they were able to have the kind of faith that enabled them to be able to see. We encounter many people in the world around us that do not believe that there is a God. And for many of us, if not all of us, there are times in our experience where we begin to question, is there really a God? The same scientists that are so vigorously trying to solve the problem of people being unable to love, those same scientists have a problem with there being a God. And why is it that they have a problem with there being a God? It is because they are incapable of sensing or detecting the presence of a God around them. It's like the individual who has no ability to hear, trying to believe that there is sound. The individual who has never before seen, trying to comprehend the presence of light. So it is with us who grapple with the presence of God, and we realize that it is because we are impaired from birth that we struggle with experiencing God's presence. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I combine that statement with Jesus' question, do you believe that I can do this? And it leads you and I to a critical moment in our experience. As we realize there is a divine procedure that must happen in our hearts and our minds in order for us to truly sense, take in, and experience the power of a divine presence. Many of us have seen the evidence. We have read the story of Jesus. We have attended prophecy seminars where we have experienced dramatic evidence of the power of the foresight of God. But if we are to actually see the kingdom of heaven, Something new and something different has to happen in our hearts. I don't know how you grew up. You may have grown up in a Christian family. You may have grown up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You've grown up believing that all of these things existed. But like Nicodemus, there is a crucial step that takes us from the evidence to the experience. And until we bridge that gap, we will never actually be able to say from our experience, yes, I know that there is a God because I have experienced His presence. What is it that has to happen in order for us to be able to actually experience a divine presence? Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. But there is good news. In Ezekiel 36:26, there is a promise where God says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. Do you want to experience the real life, transformational, powerful presence of God? If you want that, one must pray this prayer. God, give me a new heart. Put a new spirit within me. King David, he had had an incredible experience with God. And he doubtless thought he had that vital relationship. And then when he completely fell, when he completely denied, in essence, the power of God in his life, and he realized what had happened, he prayed that prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. There is an experience that God wants us to have. Like a child who has been born with unable to hear, who has suddenly been able to be transformed, we are naturally born unable to detect spiritual impulses. We need to pray that prayer, God, give me a new heart. Enable me to be able to experience you. It's not enough to believe. We must be transformed. When that new heart is implanted within us, we start experiencing promises like we've never experienced them before. The Bible says you will have perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So I'm going to challenge you. Have you experienced perfect peace this week? Perfect peace. If your answer is no, what do you and I need? We need a new heart. If we are not experiencing the peace of heaven, it is because we are impaired and we need a transformation. When that experience comes, faith springs up. I'm intrigued with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I studied this passage out. It's fascinating that that word for substance has to do with hands holding something up. And so faith is actually the experience of the unseen hands holding up our experience, giving us genuine, real hope, not maybe, But confident reality, I know this is going to happen. I have evidence that there is a God who is fighting for me. There is a God who is here enabling me to be an overcomer. Faith, that substance, the evidence, the transforming experience, perhaps could be compared to the difference of seeing a chart of sound waves on the screen and going from that to hearing the choir actually sing. You could never get the music from seeing the sound waves. As accurate as those sound waves might be, as accurate as the diagram might be, you could never get the song from the sound waves. And I believe what God is saying to us today is we need to move from simply seeing the facts, from simply believing, to an experience of actually hearing and experiencing the voice and the sound of God. My question for you today: do you want a new heart? Do you want to be able to experience God really, truly, a genuine experience? And if you have experienced Him, what about your family? What about your neighbors? What about the community around us? If scientists can be so passionate about someone being able to have the experience of love, should not we as Christians be much more passionate about enabling someone around us to be able to experience the ultimate presence of ultimate love? And the good news is we don't have to try to figure out the chemical reaction. We don't have to try to delve into how the brain works. We have the evidence. We can simply present a God who is inviting people to this experience. And so as we realize our need, like the blind men, we come to Jesus. And we say, Lord, have mercy on us. And we hear His voice as He says, do you believe that I am able to do this? And to pull a little snippet from another story, I would imagine our first statement is, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And as we ask God for a greater spiritual experience, and we say, yes, Lord, I believe. Jesus says to us, according to your faith, be it unto you. And at that moment, we fall to our knees and say, Lord, increase my faith. If my experience is going to be equivalent to my faith, I want a greater faith than I have ever, ever had before. The experience, it's unlike anything we have ever had. As Jesus gives us spiritual eyesight, as Jesus transforms us, as that new heart comes in, all of a sudden we hear a voice. It's not an unfamiliar voice, but suddenly hearing that voice does something inside of us. Suddenly that voice starts changing us. We start sensing an experience we've never had before. We start realizing that there is love like we've never had. We find peace We find hope springing up where we had never had hope. We discover to our amazement that we are actually experiencing love like we have never experienced it before. There's a statement found in the book Desire of Ages that was intriguing to me about the experience God wants us to have with Him. It says, "It is not the fear of punishment or the hope of everlasting reward that leads the disciples of Christ to follow Him. They behold the Savior's matchless love, revealed throughout His pilgrimage on earth, from the manger of Bethlehem to Calvary's cross. And the sight of Him attracts, it softens and subdues the soul. Love awakens in the heart of the beholders. They hear His voice and they follow Him." My question for you this Sabbath morning, as you stand in the presence of Jesus, are you living the experience? Is the love of Christ a reality in your heart and in your life? Are you experiencing love that is deep and satisfying? Are you eager to follow Jesus today? Today is your opportunity. And I would encourage you today to say, "Master, transform my heart. Take hold of His love. Listen to Him as He offers to you the faith that you need." If you are sensing today that you need a change of heart, if you would like to experience God in a way that you've never experienced Him before, I'd invite you to kneel with me as we pray. Father, we come to You. And our prayer is, Lord, open our eyes that we may hear Your voice as the voice of our shepherd. Lord, we long to feel that stirring in our souls that says we have found the experience that we have longed for. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Lord, give us the ability to hear You, to sense Your presence. And may Your power be a reality in our lives today. We thank You for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.